Times the circumstances sit upon the emotions of our life and press us down. And some of us have come with burdens today, Father, with fears, with news that's difficult for us to process. And we're just asking that you would take this time and lift us up to you. Lift us up to the truth, that you would rebuild our trust. And for those who have become discouraged and disillusioned, that they could indeed submit themselves to you. Father, that each of us, myself and each of this family, that we can bow the knee to you and trust you in the midst of the tests and praise you in the midst of the pain and believe you before we see your breakthrough. Because you are a good and a great God. And we love you for that. And we thank you for loving us. So teach us today, God. Open us up to what you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How can this be? I can't even fathom this. What am I supposed to think? How am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to do? God, is this really your plan? Can you comprehend what this does to our plan? We announced the betrothal. That's a commitment. We've invited everybody. The arrangements are all done. Now this. I can't fathom this. Pregnant. Mary's pregnant. Not by me. I kept myself pure. I kept us pure. And she says, it's by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that works. She said the angel said that he will be the Son of the Most High, King on David's throne forever. Mary has in her womb the Son of God. How do you explain that? How can you even talk about that? Yeah, I'll go sit down with the rabbi at the synagogue and we'll talk about what's happened. You know, people understand that young people make mistakes. But this will seem like we are blaming God for our mistake. And that will not go well. I love Mary. I've looked forward to marrying her for so long. And yet this is wrong. It is not right for a man to marry a woman who's carrying somebody else's child. It's forbidden. And if I do it, everyone will think I'm agreeing with her behavior. Worse than that, they'll think I did that. It's that I'm the one who made her pregnant. That'll destroy my reputation. Probably my business. This is a small town. People will talk. It's Nazareth, you know. She sounded so believable. I even know how I can even think that it sounds believable when somebody tells you a story like that. And I want to marry her. But I cannot go against God or His Word. I will, God, I will break my word to keep yours. For your honor, I will not go through with this. I cannot go through with this. I will break the betrothal. Saying, I believe in God is easy. But when you choose to walk God's way, trust gets tested. Things happen that you would not expect to happen. Things happen that don't make any sense to us. And it's hard to comprehend in those places where that loving, perfect God is at. Joseph's example to us is going to give us some encouragement, I pray, to how you follow God's plans even when it's painful. Because I don't believe it was easy for him in any way. And sometimes I think people think that if I just walk God's way, everything will go well. There will be joy in the end. But friends, at times it is very clear within the scripture that there can be great pain on the journey. And sometimes God touches those things that are most precious to us and tests us. Will you trust me? So look with me here in Matthew chapter 1. As we see this story, perhaps been able to open your eyes to see Joseph in a different light today. But perhaps also be able to open your eyes to see yourself, where you are in this process of relationship, and what are you going to do with the test that you're in. Because here's the way I have found life works. You are either in a test, coming out of a test, resting after the test, or about to go into another test. Isn't that how life works? You know, and I've checked with those who've got a couple decades on me, and they tell me it really doesn't change as you get older. The tests just change. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child and will bear a son. And they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It's difficult to do, but basically when you read the scriptures, I think we find some encouragement that says you need to expect the unexpected as you go through life. How do you expect the unexpected? Well, you just have to know that things won't come out exactly the way you think they will. Can anybody testify that's kind of how it's been? And so we can look at a situation, and Joseph looks at this situation, and he gets the news, and he tries to process it as best he can. And so he goes ahead and he makes a decision. He discovers the problem. He develops a plan. And then God interrupts that plan. Sometimes that's the way we think it is. We have this plan, then we go, okay, well, that didn't work, then I'll make this plan. Wait a minute. It can be frustrating when you think you're in control of this life. Life's circumstances test our trust. They test our trust in doing what is right. You see, it's easy to know, but there's a cost to do what God calls us to do. And for Joseph, he was looking at the loss of his fiancée. He's looking at the loss of his reputation. Before the details come out, this is just looking to him like a total disaster. Maybe that's how it's looking like to you in the situation that you're in. You cannot comprehend how this is God's plan. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes the problems we're in were not God's plan. It's what we did to ourselves. And yet even there, can I say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you to work this through. See, God interrupts our world to fulfill his plans. He wants to show us his ways. But it's only those who trust God to be God who will let him have their way. It's one thing to know that he's there. It's another thing to trust him. Oftentimes I find when I'm talking to people, and I see it even at times in myself, is we look to God for advice. We come to God and say, hey, what do you think I ought to do with this situation? And then we take God's advice, kind of like somebody else at the water cooler at the office. You know, like, okay, well, that's one idea. There's another idea. So I'm going to sort out the ideas as though I'm the one in charge. But when we come to understand the will of God, we must submit ourselves to that. That's what trust means, is that I will do what God declares regardless of the cost. So how I respond to him, both with my attitudes and my actions, is a way of displaying, do I trust God in this particular place? So Joseph has his plans interrupted. And yet, interrupted plans are an invitation to trust God and his promise. When something seems shattered, when something seems painfully wrong, in that place will we say, God, you're good. I don't think this is good, but I believe you're good. I believe you're working for good. I will trust you. You know, invitations come to us in the mail, don't they sometimes? Now they come to you over email or whatever. And it's inviting you to a response. It's inviting you to an encounter, to an experience. And that's what happens when things are going a certain way and all of a sudden there's an interruption. It's an invitation from God that says, will you see me in this? Will you respond to me in this? And so Joseph gets this situation and it says, when he had considered this, there was an angel that appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. God's really into this issue of trying to get us walk out of fear, isn't he? Always speaking to us about that issue of heart. I certainly can relate to that. He says, take Mary as your wife. The child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What's he do? Joseph is wrestling with the situation and he's saying, okay, this is not right for me to be a part of. So he makes a plan to take himself out of that plan. He's doing the best he knows how. And friends, when you step forward to do what you think is good and right by God, if you're going the wrong way, God is perfectly willing to correct you, to adjust to that. If you're willing to let Him adjust you. So he goes to sleep. He gets a little chiropractic adjustment from God. All right, you got this mindset? Click, 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 click. I'm going to adjust you. I'm going to change your perspective. And he gives him revelation. He gives him additional information. Friends, we need this. The angel comes to Joseph and says what? Joseph, did you miss what it said next? Son of David. Now to us is this, yeah. That's his last name, son of David. No. What the angel just did is just give his neck a crank and say, do you remember who you are? You too are the lineage of David. This son may not be born of your loins, but he needs the legal covering of a father who is of the son of David. You have a place in this plan. And so it's an interesting thing to think about. But when we take these fears that we have about facing our world and we face our fears with God's truth, all right, it will strengthen us to obey God's direction. We need to know, okay, what is it that God's telling me to do when I'm afraid? How am I supposed to respond? I mean, most of us know if you're afraid, God's response is what? Don't be. That's really, how well did that work with your child at 2:00 in the morning? I think there's monsters under my bed. Don't worry about it. Just go back to bed. Didn't work, did it? See, you know, when God says don't be afraid, he always gives you some more information. I mean, the message is don't be afraid, but you need to understand why you don't have to be afraid. There's truth that we have to embrace to handle fear. God doesn't just say, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. He says, no, don't worry because. Do you see that? That's an important principle. Because we tend to panic about our problems, much like I'm sure Joseph did walking home that day, having had one of those conversations. I mean, I kind of picture it this way. You know, he drops by to see her after work one day, and she says, Joseph, we have to talk. Scares every man when he hears that conversation. He knows that what's coming next is going to be serious. And all the way home, he's just trying to comprehend that problem. God, Mary's pregnant. Mary's pregnant. Mary's pregnant. He's about to move into a panic. What's God saying? Don't be afraid. So I don't know what the news is that you're trying to handle and wrap your mind around this morning, but I'm here to say you don't have to worry about that. There's a principle of truth that God has to answer that. When we come to a spot of fear, what I have found for me is God has now placed me into a faith-building assignment. I call it a growth project. You know, you remember those things. Your teachers used to give them to you at the end of the day. You called it homework. All right? What's the point of homework? It was to develop you. It wasn't to punish you. We all felt like it was punishment. And right, oh man, they gave me this much homework. They gave me this much opportunity to grow, to develop. Is God giving you some homework? A growth opportunity? It may be your kids. It may be your grandkids. It may be your parents. It may be a friend. What do you do in those spots? What does God do? God speaks truth to Joseph. Now understand this. He's already heard this message, I believe, from Mary. Because we're already seeing him making decisions about it. But God comes in and reaffirms the truth to him. Sometimes you've heard the truth, but you need somebody else to reaffirm the truth. And honestly, that's what I feel like my job is here as a shepherd. Is just keep affirming the truth to you. I don't feel like I tell you hardly anything new. I just want to walk you back to the foundational truth. He says, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. The child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Do you hear those promises in there? You want to grow in your faith, you have to tell yourself the truth. You have to build up a new perspective with promises. You see, promises build God's perspective in the midst of our problems. You're looking at a situation, you say, this is a disaster. I mean, don't we move to that conclusion pretty quick sometimes? I mean, maybe you guys don't, but I find it's pretty easy for me to shift into a spot of not just saying I've got a problem, but reaching the conclusion, the negative conclusion of the problem. I kind of walk off the end of the pier. You know what I mean? You know, this is going to be... No. There's promises that tell you this isn't going to be a disaster. It may be painful, but it's to be purposeful. And so God wants us to have a perspective built up, and so he gives us promises. All right? And so if you want to get godly insight, if you want to grow, all right, you want to know the will of God, what do you need to do? You need to soak yourself in the Word of God. We began this year talking about that idea of having a daily God time. That you would commit yourself to saying, I will come to God and get his emails first before I start my day, before I listen to anybody else, before I feed myself. Remember, I even said, no Bible, no breakfast. Right? Have a commitment that says, this is the first food that I'm going to give myself. I know some of you cheat and you drink your coffee, but it's not a law. I'm just trying to get you to value what God values. So he says, take your God time. And one of the things I've encouraged you to do is to regularly, from the Word of God, take promises and principles and put them into your heart. I've illustrated that idea by talking about you having a verse box where you just put a recibe box or something and you put there on 3x5 card verses that you review. In my box this morning is before I went back over the message again when I got up this morning seeking to do this very thing myself to build God's perspective before I go into the day. My verse was, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Boy, sometimes that's hard to see, isn't it? But that's the truth of God's Word. And so reviewing that builds a perspective for me. And so that's what I'm encouraging you to do, is will you build a perspective each day as you start that day so that you can walk with God throughout the day? Promises. What kind of promises? How about Philippians 4:13? You guys know that one, right? Philippians 4:13, why don't you say it with me? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do what? All things. I can do all things. Now, there's an awful lot of people in this world who stop right there. I can do all things. But the truth is, through him who strengthens me, through being in a life-dependent connection with Jesus Christ, I can do all things. So I can handle the situations I come up against if I'm depending on him. And that's a promise. It's a great promise. There's another one there at the end of that chapter. Sometimes we're feeling so short, we're feeling difficult, we don't know, what are we going to do? What's he say? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If it's a need, God will supply it. It may not be exactly when you think you want it. Remember, God's got this faith developing thing, even in the supply and demand issue in life. But friends, promises are faith food. You know what I'm talking about? It's faith food. If you want to build your faith, you need to have something to base your faith upon. See, this is what God's promised. I'm going to stand on the promise of God. I'm going to trust him for this. And so when we're facing a problem, you go find the promise that answers the fears that you're experiencing in your problem. That's what I do. You're having a situation, you say, what am I supposed to do? You get your mouth getting you in trouble. We're going to talk about that this next year. Me and my big mouth, okay? I know you guys have never had trouble like that. I just preach about my own problems, okay? So you guys will listen in. But there's an awful lot in the Bible about our problems with our mouth. I can go to what the Word says and I can find the guidance that I need. It'll say, okay, this is how you're supposed to handle that. See, problems are defeated. How? By trusting God's promises. I get through that when I trust the promise. It'll give me a perspective. And oftentimes, I see a promise. In the promise, there'll be a sense of direction that'll come out of that. You know, even that verse there we looked at. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Okay, there's that promise, I can do all things. But there's a sense of direction. I need to seek the strength of the one who strengthens me. So it invites me into relationship. Friends, as we go through life sometimes, we can lose focus. When I take off my glasses, I don't see as much as you as I see with them on. What I'm saying is sometimes this is the way it is. It's just not that clear. It's clear enough. I can make decisions like this. But what I'm saying is when you read the Word of God, when you claim the promises of God, you need to put on your God glasses. Now all of a sudden, I can see your eyes. I can see your focus as opposed to just the shape. There's the details that God brings to us when we look into his Word. Verse 22 says, now all these things took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This was all a particular part of the plan of God. You know this is true. What God foretells, God fulfills. God fulfills whatever he foretells. Whatever he's revealed, he's going to do that. He keeps his promises. See, say there, that 21st verse. He will save his people from their sins. When he states the promise, sometimes it's actually pointing you back to the problem. What's the problem? We have a pervasive sin problem. You ever notice that? Go ahead. I know you've been wanting to do this. You turn to the person next to you, very gently, very lovingly now, and say, you have a sin problem. Go ahead. You've been wanting to do that with that person. Go ahead. Tell them. You've got a sin problem. Is that the truth? That's the truth. Now, what I'm really concerned about sometimes, friends, is that's what Christians will do. We'll make it the point of trying to tell everybody else, you've got a sin problem, when the fact is that we've all got a sin problem. One of the things we got to watch in our cultures is that we'll pick out sin problems that we don't like more than other sin problems, and we'll focus on those things and say, hey, that's a terrible one. Friends, God says lying's an abomination. All sin's an abomination. We need to humble ourselves before God and say, hey, deal with this sin problem. What is the solution? Jesus saves from sin. That's the solution, is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a dependence upon Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in him receives what? Forgiveness of sin. And so God gave us a promise right there in Romans 6:23. Do you remember that? Read it with me. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's got a gift. A gift. Man, people are trying to earn it. You know, it's like the American way of getting a gift. If you'll send us $39.95, shipping and handling, we'll give you this free gift. See, that's our culture. There's no such thing as a free gift. We can't comprehend the idea of a free gift. But God says the gift was free because what? Because he paid for it. And so when he comes to us and says, I have a gift for you, I got one choice. Do I believe the gift is good? Will I receive it or not? Jesus Christ is God's gift for each of us, saying, I love you. I don't want you to live in your sin anymore. My son bled out so that you could spend eternity with me. Will you receive that? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Whatever you have done has been fully paid for upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I need to receive the gift. I can say I didn't do it. I can spend the whole day trying to justify myself. Or I can just humble myself and say, God, you're right. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, save me. It's that simple. I mean, it's serious. It's not magic. It's real. But friends, the promise is when we enter into relationship with him, God will be with you. You see that there in the 23rd verse? Behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. People would communicate things through names. The prophets would name their children things about the character and the work of God. Got to look at some of those. I would not name my children some of those names. I'm guessing that God says this is what we're going to name this one. I mean, one of the prophets has to name his child Hosea. Not my own. Oh, that's a nice name to call your kid. Not mine. His wife was a harlot. Can you imagine how much pain there was? There was an identity tied up in the name. Do you follow me? When he mentions here Emmanuel, people will tell me sometimes, well, Jesus was never called Emmanuel. He was Eternal Father, Wonderful Counselor. There's all these different names. Those were things that were given, not so much as saying this is going to be his first name, as saying this is going to be his identity. And so when you say he is Emmanuel, what's it saying? It's saying God is with us. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Amen. God is with us? That's when he says this one means God's here. God's here. God is always perceived as the one lofty above the heavens, eternally existent, so far removed. No, no, no. In the form of a baby, come to earth to say, I got a plan for you. That you and I could be in relationship with him. And some of you say, well, that was nice. He was here. He's not here no more. No, but what did Jesus say before he left? That marvelous, marvelous promise. Remember, these are what we build our faith on. The promise that he gave to his disciples right before he was crucified, right before they were going to watch horrible things happen. Jesus gives them some of the most awesome promises. You look at it, John 14, 15, 16. They're packed with promises. Why? Because the worst problems these disciples have ever going to encounter are coming, and Jesus prepares them to walk it out with trust by giving them promises. Read this one with me. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. With you how long?
Forever.
Forever. You know, when we marry, we say, till death do us part. It's kind of a weird thing. Because right there at that intimate, special, sweet moment, you're saying, me or you is going to die. This is the reality of what's coming. And in that place, you know that this promise isn't forever. This promise is proportioned in our lifetime. But Jesus Christ gives us a promise and says, I will be with you forever. He says, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper, meaning a helper identical to me, and he will be with you. And the next verse actually says, and he will be in you forever. That's an amazing thing. What that means, friends, when you think about it, is no matter what you're up against, no matter what you're encountering, no matter what you're struggling with or who you're struggling with, what? You're not alone. I am not alone. I may be lonely. I may be hurting, but I am not alone. God is with me. So how does Joseph respond to this? He's been given promises. He's been given revelation through God, through the angel. What's it says? Verse 24, Joseph woke up from his sleep and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Now notice right there. This is not a guy waking up saying, so, wow, that was a bad pepperoni pizza last night. It's a crazy dream. No, this is a man waking up knowing he just has had an encounter with God. He says he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. It wasn't the angel. Did you notice that wasn't a suggestion? It wasn't, hey, here's something you might think about. You might think about go ahead and marry anyway. No, he says, this is what you'll do. You ever noticed how often God doesn't give suggestions? He gives commands. See, trusting God will produce in us an obedience that fulfills God's plans. But there's a command there. So then that requires obedience. See, that's the issue of submission. That's the issue of trust, is will I forgive? One of the most difficult commands of Scripture for most of us is will I forgive? Now, some people are easy to forgive. Some situations are easy to forgive. Some are not. And in those places, I have to say, do I believe that what Jesus did upon that cross is sufficient for all sin, regardless of who that person is? Will I forgive? That's a choosing to trust. God commands us, and there's all these commands in the New Testament saying, this is how you respond to God. And that's an opportunity to trust. Every time you read a command, that's an invitation to trust God. So notice what it says here. He awoke, and he did. He awoke and he did. So here's what he's telling us, guys. Wake up, do what God says. All right? Wake up, do what God says. We can sleep right through the plans of God. God's got a great plan for you. Biggest part of the problem is it's not usually yours. Telling somebody just yesterday some of the stories of our life. We were talking about our youngest son. We were sitting in a doctor's office, having a doctor say, this will kill your wife. You should abort this child, it'll kill her. Do you believe all children are gifts from God? You look at the news like that and say, for me? And we said, no, we believe all children are gifts from God. And the doctor looked me right in the eye, and I still remember, he stuck his finger out at me. He says, if she dies, it's your fault. I warned you. You look at a situation like that, you go, hey, what kind of options is this, God? My child or my wife? Life has tests like that. And when we're in those places, you got to believe the promises. And act on it. Even if you're afraid it's going to cost you your life. Because your life is worth laying down to be obedient to Scripture. Everybody else may not agree with you. They may not understand it. But faith follows through. That's what Joseph does here. He follows through. Faith will obey. Faith will act. Faith will work. If you're going to trust God, it has to move from a place where I agree with God to where I act on it. It has to move from my head out through my hands. A lot of people think faith is just a mental assent. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No. James said what? Faith without works is dead. That's pretty harsh. I get my inspiration from James. It's okay to be harsh at times. Faith without works is dead. I've got to walk this out. Where was Joseph? He was ready to quit. He's ready to quit. I'm quitting on this betrothal. I'm quitting on this thing. But he's trying to do that. Why? Because he's believing it's the plan of God. He doesn't understand why God's doing what he's doing. But he says, I will still submit to you. And then God turns another thing around. And he just says, okay, I have no idea what's going on. I'm just going to do what? I'm going to follow you. And then that baby grew up and told us what? Follow me. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what trust means, is that we follow him. Friends, tests are tough to go through, but what they produce is worthwhile. Can some of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Sometimes when we look back, you can see that. Okay? But knowing that is one of the things I try to do for me, is say, I know that. Therefore, this test that I currently am in, or this test that I can see coming, God will be glorified if I follow him. Some of you are looking at things like that. You know that there's pain coming. You've got a beloved one that you know is going to pass. You've got a difficult situation. You may be looking at a baby. You may be looking at a bankruptcy. I don't know what you're challenged by, but you're looking at a situation and you're saying, will God come through for me? And the answer is yes. Just don't tell him what he has to do, because he already knows what he's going to do. Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb because she submitted to the plan of God. Joseph named him Jesus because he submitted to the plan of God. And Jesus went to the cross because he was submitted to trust God and his plan. When your trust gets tested, your response to God reveals your relationship. What am I saying? You can check your own pulse. How am I doing with God? Are my feet following him? Am I walking this out? I got three questions for you today. There's a situation you're working on. There's a problem you're up against, or you can see it coming. Or maybe you're still just trying to get through one that's already happened. Because sometimes you get through the problem, but it's still biting you. What has God told you to do? What has God promised you? What do you believe? What are you going to do? Four questions. What has God told you to do? What has God promised you? What do you believe? What will you do? Friends, you can handle your situation by walking yourself through those four questions. But here's what I've discovered. That what you do with what God has declared reveals what you believe. It's not what you say. It's what you do. This life is not painless, but it is purposeful. And you are being tested. Remind yourself of the truth, and then respond to the truth with trust. Faith gets tested. Joseph did. But when he named Jesus, there was something powerful going on there. Can you imagine that? When he's looking at that baby, you are Jesus. There's an affirming of God's word there. And what I want you to think about this morning is I want to ask you, have you ever named Jesus? Jesus already got his name. He don't need to be named by me. Oh, yes, he does. You need to name him your Savior. You say, this is Jesus, the Savior of the world. This is Jesus, my Savior. I believe he is who God says he is. I will trust him. And some of you have been trusting him, and now you're doubting him. And I want to say, name him Jesus. God with us, saving his people from their sins. Even when your faith gets tested, you know, if you trust him, it'll bless you. Let's pray. Father, we all find ourselves in painful predicaments. Maybe not everybody today, but an awful lot of us. Some of us still looking back at other ones, not comprehending what just took place. And we just want to come to you and say, would you please tell us what to do? Show us the process of forgiveness. Show us the process of obedience. Show us the process of humility before you. Father, we didn't think they were bad plans, and maybe they weren't. But more than anything else, we want your plans fulfilled in our life. Break through the sadness, break through the fear, and let the news of great joy take root in our hearts. God is with us. May you sense he's with you today. May he open your heart to him. As you listen to these words, if you've never named Jesus as your Savior, today is the day to tell him, Jesus, I come back to you as Savior. And Lord, I trust you. For your glory, I will live my life.